97 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Glad you're here and we continue to get to know the candidates. By the way, let me tell you something about your weekend plans that you didn't already have. And that is going to see my friends at Cottage Hill Package. They had another great event last night, another great beer tasting. And if you want to stop in before the weekend, craft beers, you're looking for fine wines, maybe a cigar. If you're a cigar fan or you're like me, have cigar fans in your family you're shopping for, I don't know much about a cigar. I do know everything I need to know. I go to Cottage Hill Package. I get Billy the tobacconist there to decide what cigars I'm going to give Dad for whatever gift it is, and he can hook me up. It's not even a humidor. It's like it's a humidor room, an annex there at Cottage Hill Package. Check that out, and of course, all the great events they have, and the great food, too. Thursdays and Friday nights, usually when they do their events, and we'll give you a heads up next time there's a beer tasting and a chance to come out and get some great Cuban food over at Cottage Hill Package. CottageHillPackage.com, on Facebook, Cottage Hill Package, or best yet, Tasty. Yet go see them in person, Cottage Hill and Hillcrest in Mobile. All right, we continue with getting to know the candidates here and running for Ag Commissioner of the state of Alabama. Rick Pate joins us in studio. Thanks for coming by.
Well, it's great to be here. Yeah, I've been in Mobile a couple of days now.
All right, so home, Lowndes County is home.
Right. Sometimes people know where it is. We're halfway between Montgomery and Selma. A lot of people that use I-65 are familiar with Preacher's Pecan. I tell mm-hmm. them that's sort of southwest corner of the mm-hmm. county, and we're in sort of the northeast corner.
Yeah, you know, like when you're looking at Leda Hatchie and those right. kind of places up there. Yeah, that's stopped it, and that's big farming country.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Big cattle, north end of the county, of course, borders Alabama River, real rich land. So a lot more cows than people. I think we have 10,000 registered voters, many more cows than that.
More registered cows than voters. I want to get to that, your experience. But I guess for people that haven't paid attention to this in the past, Ag Commissioner, we see the signs, we hear, you know, come election time, ads are running. But what does Ag Commissioner do? What's the job of Ag Commissioner?
Well, you know, that's a great question, and very few people know, you know, yeah. and so I wouldn't feel embarrassed not to know, but a lot of the role is regulatory, and so obviously you're the face of agriculture, you're out promoting agriculture, you're trying to increase agriculture, but really you're protecting the consumer. Somebody told me one time, well, I ought to call the Office of Consumer Protection. I don't like that as much. It's not as, doesn't have the ag name in
right.
it, but yeah, but everything that's weighed, measured, is regulated by the department, and lots more than that. But yeah, if you buy bananas at a grocery store, there's a scale there, they weigh those bananas on. Somebody's got to make sure you're not being cheated.
That's where you see that sticker.
Yeah, gas pumps. Yeah, everybody yeah. used to know about the gas pumps because yes. the commissioners forever would put their picture on the gas pump.
Yes.
And fortunately, John McMillan, who's a great friend of mine and has been really encouraging to me about running, they went through some budget cuts, and they had to make some adjustments. One of the adjustments was they don't actually physically send an apartment bag employee out to check the gas pumps. They actually make the people that maintain those gas pumps certify them, send it to the department bag, and then they'll go out
sign
if there's a problem.
Okay.
There actually is still an 800 number on every gas pump I've ever seen that says if you think there's a problem, call this
yes.
800 number, and the department bag will send somebody out.
But, you know, that, and the dangerous thing is if I'm filling up like a big diesel tank on the back, I got time, then I may call the number just to have somebody to talk to.
Well, I'm sure they'd love to talk to you. Somebody was telling about a YouTube video where a guy takes a gas nozzle off and the thing starts running and he's standing there holding it.
That may be a problem. That may be a sign of a problem. You know, we're talking about all the things with Ag Commissioner, and I'm just thinking about agriculture. You and I are having a great conversation before we went on. It's a, you know, I'm the first one off the farm in my family, and you know, and getting back on it actually in my later life. But I think about the state of Alabama, and when you say ag, you think ag, a lot of states you can sum up pretty quickly. You know, if you're talking about an Arkansas, you know what they're growing. You're talking about a Texas, you got it. But here, I think you're down here, we're growing turf grass, we're growing yard grass, we're growing row crops, we're running cattle. Other parts of the state, you got chickens, we got beef cattle, we got row crops. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different kinds of, if you just said, it's agriculture in Alabama, gosh, that means a lot of different things.
Well, you're exactly right. And my degree actually from Auburn was in ag, but it was in ornamental horticulture. And so,
oh yeah, I forgot. And I'm going to be in trouble with a bunch of folks. The whole nursery business. Here.
Yeah, I'm fixing to say we're down here in Mobile County.
Yeah,
yeah, this is like the nursery capital of the world.
Yes.
And it is. Yeah, people think about the big tractor and planting cotton or corn or soybean, but ag's a huge divorce. And if it was dependent on those huge industries, then a lot of our rural communities would dry up. It's those, I was in northern Elmore County. A lady had started a little dairy with 18 cows, and she was pasteurizing the milk and then selling it directly out of her dairy. And I was there for the grand opening, and people just lined up to buy. I mean, and if you had drinking whole milk that was 8 hours earlier in the cow that had only been not homogenized, you had to shake the milk up to drink it. But
I love it.
There's a lot of people doing it. I was at a sweet potato patch up in Coleman County, and a guy was selling off his farm. And then I was in northern Madison County, and a guy had a strawberry, one of those pick'em strawberry patches. And then there was another guy in north Madison County, the Tates, that have a sort of agritourism business where they have the pumpkin patch and bring the school kids
out. Right, yeah.
And so, ag's a lot bigger than what people think. And I really hadn't seen, and I don't, there's not this corporate farming out there. There's some bigger farmers, but the big farmers have big debt. It's gotten to where a big tractor will cost $700,000-$800,000. A new chicken house is $500,000-$600,000. So, the whole debt load and for a farmer is really scary.
That's a real issue for farmers here in Alabama, anywhere too.
Yeah.
Is hoping that next year is better than this year, and you're going to be able to pay for that. And I saw some things where they were, some banks were changing how they saw the debt for farmers. It was going to be tough. I mean, interest rates rise. We're looking at what's happening right now. Makes it hard on people that are operators that got a note every month, to get on that equipment.
Absolutely, and technology's coming. I read an article not long ago that the last two industries that hadn't been changed as dramatically with technology is construction and agriculture. And so, even though now
they hadn't been in some of the new tractors then.
Well, but I mean, it's coming. Not like it's revolutionized. Some industries are 100% different. But the thing that people don't realize, all that technology increased costs too, though. So a chicken house now with the top of the line computer systems obviously costs more than the old.
You mean you and I can't get a crew and go build it like in the old days? We come back from the news break here. Rick Pate in studio, running for ag commissioner here in the state of Alabama. We're going to talk about some of the things that you would do if you were ag commissioner, some things that we would see with you as ag commissioner. And if people got questions too, they can text them in to 343-0106, 343-0106. We'll get those answered right now as you get to know the candidate. And we're right here on a Friday morning on FM Talk 106.5. By the way, heads up. We're out at Dean McCrary today, Midday Mobile Live from noon to 2 at Dean McCrary. Come see us. All right, 820 FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Glad to have you along. We continue to get to know the candidates and get to know the position as well, like we did in the last segment with Rick Pate, getting to know what Ag Commissioner does. Rick Pate, let's talk about what you do every day. We were talking during the break about running cattle and all that, but also you have, I don't know, how many jobs? Because you're mayor of Lyonsboro.
Right, yeah.
So there's that.
I've always been one to be busy, but I've always surrounded myself really good people. Obviously, you're limited by the people you work with you and for you. And so, after 36 years of running my business, and I'd had a guy that I just one day noticed that for the last 10 years I had been directly involved. And it seemed like they liked me not being there at 7 o'clock when they got there. And in fact, a couple of times I said, I'm going to come out to a job site. And they go, no, boss, we're good. You just stay.
Yeah, you're mentioning things. And let folks know, not only a farmer here, not only mayor running your business, a landscape business, you were talking about the volume that y'all do in the landscape business.
Well, we've done as much as $3 or $4 million a year. We currently do a couple of
That's
million.
That's a lot of landscape,
We currently have 25 employees. At one time, I had 55. But, we worked all the way from Baton Rouge to Greenwood, South Carolina. Some people might might be familiar with.
Holy cow.
Some of the projects. We just finished the Auburn School of Nursing and Pharmacy. We did when Bryant Denny added the suites in Tuscaloosa. We did the expansion there because most people have seen Hyundai as you drive up
I-65.
Yeah, we did that. That was the largest project. It was probably over $10 million worth of work.
Well, I mean, it's about the size of a county up there at the Hyundai plant. You're driving by. That thing is huge. You go on forever.
Yeah. But it's interesting how we got involved there. They actually had a landscaper hired, and the chairman was coming in 20 days or 21 days, and so they weren't satisfied with the progress they were making, so they called me in and said, can you finish this job in 20 days? I go, no, that's a little too fast. I can get through in 30 days. And so the Korean guy was negotiating with got up, and I said, is that it? He goes, yeah, if you can't do it, you can't do it.
Right.
And so I said, we'll do it. And and so we got that done for him, and that led to everything else.
Wow.
That was probably a $200,000 contract, but it led to the other $10 million we ended up doing. So they were great clients. I know there's been people say different things, but yeah, to me they were always fair. And because we did what we said we were going to do. But yeah, that and then being mayor, I've done that the last 13 years, and it's a neat little town. We have a water system. In fact, we've been twice voted to have the best water, tasting water in the state of Alabama. We can't get over.
You can bring it down here. We need some.
Well, it's much better than this.
Your water is not good yet.
But anyway, got beat out by, I think, a water system in Baldwin County one time and Chilton County the next. But yeah, it's fun. It's one of those jobs I get paid $184.70 a month. So we get to have a couple of nice meals.
There you go.
With it. But then, then running the cows. My dad actually was really a leader. I mean, I think he's in every Hall of Fame that agriculture has in the state of Alabama. But he was a pioneer, really, in genetics and artificial insemination and using really the top bulls in the nation. And so then when he got sick, then, you know, I didn't want to lose that bloodline. I could have had cows, but I wanted to have cattle from that same genetics. And so we sold down for probably... maybe he had 200 at one time. So I sold it down to maybe 20, 25, and then we built it back up to 50, 60. And that's with me in Mobile and the cows in Lowndes County.
I was thinking about that.
It doesn't work as well, but we need to get those numbers down.
All right. Obviously, Rick, energy is not an issue. So beyond the fact that you got the energy for it, why you for Ag Commissioner?
Well, you know, it's one of those things. I told Kelly, I never 2 years ago, this would never cross my mind. Nobody grows up wanting to be Ag Commissioner. You might want to be president, governor, or
you're right. That's fair. That's a fair thing to say. No little boy or girl goes, you know, one day I can be Ag Commissioner.
Ag Commissioner, right. Yeah. It's sort of. But anyway, a guy approached me about it, and I knew John McMillan could run again. I mean, we're in Rotary together, and so. He left. I told him no. My wife came in 5 minutes later and said, you know, I think our kids were out of Auburn. You know, it's like you need someplace else to serve, and you've done what you've done well, but that's not going to get you up anymore. Those challenges that were 30-year-ago challenges, mm-hmm. And so, you know, you got to think about that. Yeah, you want to play a little golf, you want to deer hunt, but I can't see myself doing that 3 or 4 times a week.
Well, just being around you as much as the 30 minutes this morning, a man with your energy, I don't think that would suit you.
Well, so, it's a little literal kick the can down the road thing. You tell one person, if they don't just laugh out loud at you, you tell a second person, and then you just, you know, you meet with the Farmers Federation, you meet with the cattlemen. They don't necessarily endorse you, but they say, yeah, we might could get behind you. And then over time, they start, you know.
Because you've got the endorsements, Rick, lined up here. You just rolled through a couple of them.
Yeah, it's really been, shocking before an outsider that's never been in Montgomery going against, you know, I hate to say career politics, but somebody's been there 4 to 5 decades, knows everybody's inside player. And yeah, as they started to roll, the cattlemen came aboard first and the general contractors. And of course, Alpha tells you, we'll endorse you. Go convince our 67 counties to vote for you. And so 67 sounds like a small enough number. It's huge. It's huge. Don't try to go to all 67 counties.
I mean, here you are down on this end of the state, and you said it earlier, like if you're in Madison County or Limestone, it's a world away.
I was in Madison County 2 days ago. Yeah, I was in Let's see, Wednesday I had a breakfast in Fayette County. If people don't know, that's about 2-3 counties north of Tuscaloosa. Mm-hmm. At 7, I was in Madison, Alabama for lunch. At 11, I got a call from a friend that said the DAs were meeting in Orange Beach at Perdido. Could I make it down there by 7 a.m. the next morning? We drove back to Lowndes County, threw my bag down. I literally took a 30-minute nap, packed up, drove to Orange Beach, got there at 9 o'clock two nights ago, got up. It was at a 7:30 breakfast, spoke to DAs, and then I'd been in Mobile. I met with Jerry Carl, the mm-hmm. commissioner. Yeah. We were with the Volunteers of America yesterday and feeding the Gulf Coast folks there. Really a lot of people doing some neat things in this area.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I'm thinking about, number one, yeah, y'all, and hopefully you're watching on Facebook Live. We got the Facebook Live going, Kelly, behind that right now, so you can check it out and see the energy that this man has. You've got it. I'm not worried about that. And obviously, you got the credentials on the ag. And what I like is earlier, you were talking about where it's going, not where it's been, but where ag is going in our state. When you mentioned that woman with her dairy up there, there seems to be a resurgence in people being interested in food that's from home. Right? I mean,
people want to know where the food's come from. I mean, we can do that, you know, but we need it all. It's like talking to the people at Feeding the Gulf Coast. You mm-hmm. know, they realize we're not going to feed the world. We're not going to, and we could. American farmer and mag, if you could strip all the barriers that government and politicians create, but you're not going to feed that organic. You're not going to feed that with an 18 cow dairy. Right. But we could certainly provide that. I mean, all those niches can be met.
Right, those niches are they're starting, that niche has grown. I mean, you're always going to need big ag, obviously, for feeding everybody, but it's a thing now that lets people stay at home, stay on the farm. Not a lot of times generations had to get off the farm because there wasn't enough work for everybody. Now somebody can do something smaller and make a good living.
Right. We need to fill whatever niche somebody wants. People call me up and talk about GMOs and this thing. Mm-hmm. And I think we're not going to feed the world that way, but certainly we can do that. We can provide, origin on packages. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on in the cattle business right now with people wanting to know where their beef's coming mm-hmm. from. And I think we could fit all of those niches, and we really could produce so much more. You know, the ag is one of our real success stories. I mean, it's a net exporter in this country. I mean, if you took away the net export, then our trade amounts would just explode.
Well, yeah, that's one of the things that's been discussed over these tariffs, and, you know, we see it a couple different ways down here. From the ag perspective, tough. For the manufacturing, pretty tough for us, and the Port of Mobile, pretty tough for us on these tariffs. If this goes on, for some indefinite period, it's tough on a lot of people in Alabama.
Yeah, I've been asked about that several times. You just hope, you know, you gotta think Trump knows what he's doing.
It's a negotiation.
He seems to normally do pretty well in these type situations. But yeah, this could have bad impact on
it. Impacts our state and probably other states that line up with us, but it hits us a couple different places, so hopefully that gets wrapped up soon. All right, so you're talking to folks down here. You've obviously going to be continuing your tour through the state. People want to find out more information about you. They're listening this morning. They, you know, Rick paid his name, but if they didn't write down any more, they wanted to go online, what's the best way to get more information?
Well, we'd love for you to go to rickpate.com. So mm-hmm. there's a little 2.5-minute video there. I'd love for you to go on our Facebook page as Rick Pate for Ag Commissioner. You know, if you have to remember, let's make Alabama Pate again or something. But we'd love to have you. There's a phone number on our website. There's contact information, my email. Reach out. We're going to be here the rest of the day. But we did real well. I would like to say I want to thank the people of Mobile and Baldwin County. We just about doubled the second place in this area. Of course, we finished statewide with a 10-point lead, but I think I was 38 and 39 in Baldwin and Mobile, and second place was 20-21 or something. So we were real pleased with that. Obviously, Cecil Murphy, being from Baldwin County, got a good many votes, and then the other guy from Gardendale got a good many votes. Thank you.
Hey, and come back anytime. Let's talk cattle.
All right, I'd love to do that.
Great deal. Rick Pate, running for Ag Commissioner, and we're coming right back. More of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. 8:35, FM Talk 106.5.
Sean, great interview. Great job.
Better interview from you on the Facebook page. Y'all can check out that Facebook Live.
We can agree that we want Mr. Pate's energy.
It's no joke. That man, he has got the energy for sure. For sure. And that's good. Hey, if you're going to have three or four jobs, you're going to need that kind of energy. Hey, we're taking the Midday Show live today to Dean McCrary Mazda on the East I-65 Service Road. Come on out. Starts at noon, and we'll have some FM Talk 106.5 goodies to give away. We've got the new huggers. Also, I've got a stack of books, because I get all these books in. And I cannot read them all. They want you to read them and then review them on the air or whatever. Yes. I can't get to them all. So I've got a stack of those I'm going to hook you up with. So if you're looking like a beach read or something to read in the backyard, I don't care where you read it. Yeah, some of those will be given away today as well. And we'll feed you Jersey Mike's on Dolphin Street. Great, great folks. They're bringing out the sandwiches as well. And Kelly is going to bring out White Lightning as White Lightning goes back on. Your chance to, you could come out today actually and test drive Kelly's car that she's named White Lightning.
Yeah, and I've kept it really clean.
Yes.
You tend to do that when it's somebody else's car.
Yes, that's
funny.
Is
that the truth?
Like, kids, let me see your pockets. Any food in the pockets? No.
Whose
food?
Whose Cheerio is this?
Right.
Yeah, I've been having a great time. So my 2 weeks are up, but White Lightning has been fantastic.
Now, that's a Mazda 3, right?
This is the 2018 Mazda 3 Touring. Yeah, so I graduated from the Miata, and wow. I mean, I'm so impressed with this vehicle. Safety, of course, is always key, because we always talk about our families. We have the Fab Five. We are in the market for a vehicle. And so this has been a cool gig, because I get to test out all these vehicles and tell you what I think. And then if you're in the mood for a vehicle, you have what I have to say. Then you can hop online and then you can go talk to the professionals over at All New Dean McCrary Mazda Dealership. They are located on the East Service Road of I-65. And again, the phone number is 471-DEAN. But let me tell you a little bit about this vehicle. It seats five, spacious leg room, and if you need, like we do, extra cargo space, the back seats will lay down, so they'll go down, so it gives you even more. Mm-hmm. You think about sleeping bags and Yeti coolers and, you know, mama purses. Yes. And diaper bags and things like that. This is absolutely perfect. And I really love the front seats. They recline back almost, I mean, you're almost at an even, what am I trying to say, Sean? You're laying evenly. You know what I'm saying? You know, some seats, you try to put them back, and
you have a little bit of an angle to it.
They don't recline.
They don't lay flat.
This puts the R in recline. I mean, I've watched the kids like really catch some power naps with this one. From a safety standpoint, 2017's top pick for safety, 5 stars. So front airbags, of course, side airbags. You've got your digital readout, your push button start. I mean, the list is endless. This is a great vehicle. And when I asked Greg, I said, you know, who are you really marketing this vehicle toward? He said,
right.
Obviously everyone, but this is your starter vehicle. If you're sending your kid off to school, you want them to be safe. This is that vehicle. Or maybe you're a professional and you know you're not trying to break the bank. This is that vehicle. So go check it out. 2018 Mazda 3 Touring over there right now. Well, we'll be at noon.
That's right.
I will bring it there just for you. And then I'm excited to find out what I'm driving next.
Yeah, we'll be able to see that reveal today, too. So come out and see us.
Yay!
East I-65 Service Road at Dean McCrary Mazda. A couple things. I got some folks holding. We'll get to you in just a second. I have a pair of stories out of Baldwin County, which, by the way, looks like, let me just double confirm here before I say something and get myself in a pickle. Okay, good. Sheriff Hoss Mack is going to join us on the Midday Show today, because I want to talk about the school resource officer expansion. Yes. For Baldwin County. We'll get to that in 1 second. Also, from our news partners at WKRG, said the Baldwin County School Board voted to do their part to financially supporting a proposal that would lead to school resource officers on every Baldwin campus by the time school starts this fall. All right. The initiative is a cooperative effort between the county commission, the school board, sheriff's office, and a direct result of trying to figure out how to make Baldwin schools safer following recent school massacre in Florida. There are currently 30 full-time resource officers in Baldwin County, and there are 47 campuses. Even me, I can tell you that's 17 extra SROs, right? Training of additional officers will begin next month, with the goal of having an officer dedicated to each campus by the start of the 2018-2019 school year. To me, and you and I have talked about this since that story, it seems like while there's big things debated about arming teachers or this or that, and those debates will go on, in short term, the idea of you already have the policy of having school resource officer, and in Baldwin County, they're armed. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, law enforcement. I think that's a fair, we talk about costs for schools. I think parents and non-parents would agree that that is a fair cost for the school, to have a armed officer attached to the school.
And I will share with, you know, our listeners that, you know, our children were in that school system, mm-hmm. and they're not just SROs during the day, you know, inside the school. They also double as managing traffic,
mm-hmm.
because that is a huge issue. And you would be surprised some of the shenanigans that happen in carpool lane.
Oh, I wouldn't. and the idea of being, I think in the past, that bigger schools had SROs, mm-hmm. and the smaller schools, they said they couldn't, you know, but in today's climate, today's world, if you look at the overall cost of education in the state, I don't know there'll be many that will object to this, but we'll talk about that coming up on the Midday Show. Plus, speaking of schools in Baldwin County, first day of school, they say will begin with a new dress code policy, yeah. for middle and high school in Baldwin County. Yesterday, Baldwin County School Board approved the middle and high school dress code revisions. Y'all ready for this? I know you love this stuff. So dress code policy will begin with the 2018-2019 school year. The new Baldwin County middle high school dress code policy. Mm-hmm. Tops, here we go. No pictures, emblems, or writing on clothing that are lewd, offensive, vulgar, or obscene. Advertises or depicts tobacco products, alcoholic beverages, drugs, or any other illegal substance, or contains fighting words or incites criminal activity. Be interesting what they're going to say is fighting words.
Yeah, because it depends on the generation. I mean,
right.
You draw a line in the sand, that
right.
doesn't mean something to somebody.
That's got some of them aren't gray, some of them are. Mm-hmm. No cut-off tops, no midriff. No midriff. No showing midriff.
I'm glad that's in writing.
I hate that we have to point that out, but no midriff in school.
But you know what happens? A lot of these children, I mean, their parents go to work before.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
They leave before the kids, uh-huh. go to school, and they're like, ha-ha, mm-hmm. I've got my special wardrobe.
That's
for
right.
today.
Oh, it's the old, the stuff I was supposed to wear as a kid over the stuff I wasn't supposed to wear, and then going out. And yeah. I was a kid once. No sleeveless garments, no see-through garments. Designed so that the neckline does not reveal cleavage. Designed to cover all undergarments. In other words, don't show your drawers, folks. Fit properly, no oversized or overly tight tops. Listen, some of us older folks, that's happening whether we want it or not. Stuff's getting tighter. No tank top or undershirt can be worn as a shirt. Shorts, the length should be at the fingertip, hand, or mid-thigh, whichever is longer. Fit properly, no oversized or tight shorts. No spandex, biker, or see-through shorts. We have to write this down, I guess so.
You know what's sad? That there's going to be a teacher who has to be that one who has to point it out. And then call this person's parents.
That they're in some see-through shorts.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to reach back in that extra file. You know all the clothes in the lost and found?
Yes.
They will dress that child from that lost and found.
And then they should put them like we used to have to do in some Dickies. Put them in some Dickies. And they also say, this is interesting. This is good. This is where I'm a bit of a throwback. The clothing items must be hemmed and not rolled up. Dresses length should be at fingertip or mid-thigh, whichever is longer. Splits may not exceed 3 inches above the top of the knee. Pants, proper fit, no sagging or baggy fit, worn at the waist. No see-through or spandex legging pants. Leggings or tights may be worn only under shirts and dresses of appropriate length. No oversized or tight pants. In other words, y'all, if they're too big or too tight, don't wear them. No holes in the jeans in inappropriate areas. Sweatpants and warm-up suits will still be allowed. Sweatpants?
Well, the joggers, those are very popular.
Well, yeah, and I know there's fancy, good-looking sweatpants. I just think about the gray Hanes sweatpants I have at the house. Usually I only wear when I'm sick.
Oh, yeah, not those.
Those sweatpants.
With the paint on them.
Yes.
And I've tweeted this out so people can read along with you.
Okay.
I've tweeted
that
out.
Yeah, we're about to.
At FM Talk 106.5, and then, of course, at Kelly K2K Finley.
Yeah, what you want to do here with this, probably parents, is post this on the refrigerator. Shoes must be worn at all times. I talk about that all the time with my children. Fastened properly. Classes that require certain shoes, you have those specific shoes. No bedroom slippers. Okay. Now, have you seen the have you seen the website, The People of Walmart?
Yes.
Okay. Have you seen the number of people that get straight out of bed and go to Walmart?
And what do you call those shoes? What do you call them?
It says bedroom slippers.
Okay. We call them house shoes.
Yeah, I've house shoes too. I've used that before. Mm-hmm. On your accessories here, Hats, caps, sweatbands, or other head covering will not be worn in the building. I don't think that's fair for those of us that want to throw it back to the 80s racquetball look who want to wear a headband. And no gang-related clothing items will be allowed. Goodness sakes, I hope not. All right, so there's the lineup of Baldwin County, the dress code for 2018-2019. Let's go to the phones here. And Thomas and Theodore is first up. Hey, Thomas.
Good morning, Sean. Good morning, Finley. How you doing?
Hi, Thomas. Good. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, girl. Say, didn't Corey Lavani do a great job this week? I just wanted to say, hey, give a shout-out to old Corey. He did,
absolutely.
Did really good.
He sure did. Great guy, doing a great job.
Yep.
Yeah. Say, listen, I was screening some lingo verbiage over the my listening devices. And they say that someone spotted Rudy Giuliani entering the White House this morning in observance of Take Your Dog to Work Day.
Now, Thomas.
That wasn't nice, Thomas.
Thomas. Do you think big President Trump has him sit and roll over and do all that? I don't know. It is National Take Your Dog to Work Day. People on the text line asked if we had brought our dogs to work. They are not in here, although it would be more entertaining if they were.
If they go on social media, you can see Felix. He's been in class all week.
Yes, your dog has met with a dog trainer. That's a good video.
Shout out to Scott Perkins.
Yes, Scott, you did a miracle job there. All right, coming right back, we'll get to the phones at 343-0106. 8:51 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Friday. That's great news. Weekend forecast looks pretty good on the rain thing. I'll say this for those people who try to get out for a weekend snapper fishing, may not be so good. Pretty big southwest wind. And
what does that mean in the world of snapper fishing?
I mean, it's going to be rough.
Rough seas.
Yes, rough seas.
So Dramamine.
Stay at the house. It depends on how big a boat you got, that's for sure. Let's go to the phones at 343-0106, and John is in Mobile. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Hey, when you were reading the list of the school uniform thing,
yes,
you said something that triggered a memory. One of my wife's best friends, she went to Ole Miss, and everything's got to be prim and proper, and she has a rule of life to live by.
Okay.
Spandex is a privilege. It is not a right. So keep that in mind.
Hey, with a daughter in the house, I am going to keep that one in mind. John, that's good. It's privilege, all right. I don't even know
if
it's...
I like that. Because I get it on so many different levels. Yoga pants, too.
Yes. Well, we do a lot of the... Here's what we say. Well, when you get out and get your own house, you can do that. Same thing my parents told me. By the way, Terry said this. This is good. Terry said, as a father of a soon-to-be teenage daughter, just had a fact you should know, quote, that dryers miraculously eat inappropriate clothing.
They don't they, though?
It's funny.
Funny how that works.
I don't know what happened to it. It's with all those other socks. You know,
elves work at nighttime where those articles of clothing go missing.
Yes, I don't
know what happened.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what happened.
But the 2X is over there. It fits.
Yes, exactly. The tough skins that I used to be. I think I've told this before, but my mother, she must have thought that I was a rambunctious boy, but she probably thought I was getting ready to do some kind of, either I was wildcatting, you know, for oil, or I was working with Red Adair on the crew, or I was gonna try to, you know, knee surf behind a car or something, because I would get early on, we had tough skin pants. Sears sold tough skins, which is if you took some corrugated tin and fashioned a pair of, as my parents would say, trousers out of them. That's about the consistency of tough skins. And then, because that's not enough. No, that's not enough. Oh. A mother would iron on the reinforced knee patches. They were...
she didn't want you ever having a girlfriend.
No joke.
And I get it. A big mom to boys? No, you don't need a girlfriend.
Ironed on knee patches. On top of the most densely woven cotton duck fabric, and then we're going to put some knee patches on top of that. Like, what the heck was I going to be doing out there?
And then if you had something on your face, she'd lick her hand and wipe your face.
Still does that.
That's the beauty of being a mom. That's like part of the mom etiquette 101.
Yeah, I think that needs to be done more, I think, you know, people talk about why we have more allergies and stuff these days because the environment's too clean for our kids. We keep it too clean. I think the moms with the old thumb, the liquid thumb, and do it. It was a good way to get whatever
in
you know,
public too.
Yeah,
that's the best place.
And that's how you build antibodies and character at the same time.
Yeah, but that list though, again, we tweeted it out. That list is going to be. I mean, you know how it is with the first day of school. It takes 2 or 3 weeks for everybody to get rolling and into a groove. And can you imagine how many children are going to be sent to the office? Because your version of what's too tight is a little different as a father of a daughter compared to a mother of a daughter. You know, they're going to have their hands full.
Well, believe me, if they gave me the option of in the uniform plaid that my children wear to school, of getting a burqa like that, that's what they put them in that and then be done with it.
It fits just fine.
That's right. It's always going to fit. Doesn't matter. It's good. Yeah, it's the look for fall. It's a look for winter. It's a look for spring.
I didn't grow up with uniforms, but as a parent, I love it because it takes a thought out of it and everybody can look the same, even though, you know, our children, as we know, are taller, bigger, longer, stronger, and all that now. But I like some sort of uniform.
I'm with you on that. I am definitely with you on that. I want to add this to the mix. If you're planning the summer vacation, we talked earlier, it takes only 13 days by a survey New York Post put up. Only takes 13 days for us to be driven crazy
That's
by our
right.
children once summer vacation starts. In other words, if you didn't plan enough things for them. Although I will argue to play the Wayback Machine, which I don't do all the time on this show. I know it's tempting to do. But in the Wayback Machine, well, I did have summer camp. I'd go to Boy Scout camp up at Mobile every year, but that was it. Mm-hmm. It got older, then football started August 1st. But the rest of the summer, They weren't driven crazy by us because we were locked outside.
Right.
We went and played outside. So if you're going to do a family vacation to kind of break up the summer, the folks over at Kayak, you know, the flight and car rental and hotel booking place, have put out a list of these are the cheapest days to travel this summer. So obviously it got my attention. It says the cheapest days to travel for this summer will be Monday, September 3rd, although let me argue, we're all back in school by then. Wednesday, September 19th.
You know why they put that out there? Because growing up in Michigan, you go to school after Labor Day. So September 9th-ish.
And long time ago, it used to be that way here. Mm-hmm. But so the 3rd of September and the 19th of September, the way they're looking, they said the median price of a domestic airline flight those days is $177. Compare that with the average of $305.
Is this round trip?
Yep.
Wow.
I think this says a median price of a domestic. Maybe it's just one way. It's singular. So, I mean, maybe it's one way, but it says the price. So, they crunch the numbers, and over the entirety of the summer, the average price is $305. Mm-hmm. On those 2 days, it's $177. Of course, if you want to travel on a weekend, that's always going to be more expensive. But they say the best weekend for traveling is August 25th for the cheapest fares. Of course, that's the thing. These are all kind of after we're all back in school. But here's on the flip side, what you have to look forward to, the most expensive weekend to travel
of the summer
is next weekend. Next weekend. The next weekend, June 30th. Yeah, going into that weekend, that's the most expensive. So, I don't know, if you're planning the family vacation there, gas prices are coming up, airfare, you got to balance which one you're going to do, you know, or you just put the slip and slide in the backyard and let the kids go at it, right?
Listen, I told you, we have a double.
It's almost like we're going to the water park. Yeah, I'm going to turn the hose on.
I told you, we have a double slip and slide so you can race the person. It's fantastic.
But if you use just one, then you have like stock car derby. You can like bump people out and...
I know whose father you are, just saying that.
Yeah, because you know why.
The child with his own soundtrack.
We'll leave it at that. Hey, come see Kelly and White Lightning.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Myself and the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit.
We'll treat
arrive.
Them to lunch.
Yeah, we could do that. Our friends at Jersey Mike's on Dolphin have hooked you all up with sandwiches. Plus, we have FM Talk 106.5 goodies galore. Stop by and see us noon to 2 today at Dean McCreary Mazda on the East I-65 Service Road. And we'll do it again then. Laura Ingram next. We'll